Well, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? Great to see you here on this homecoming Sunday, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I give honor to your pastor and his family, the wonderful work of the Lord they're doing here in Savannah, and it's just a privilege to be among God's people. Whenever we realized it was going to work out for us to be able to come today, we were excited about getting to come, and as Brother Ralston said, we've been here many times. Our appreciation for your pastor and for this people and this place has only grown stronger through the years, and it is just a wonderful privilege of ours to be here. You can tell from the sound of my voice that I've been in youth camp the last week, and a youth camp that has an air conditioning vent pointed right at the pulpit, and it did not help my throat any at all. But nevertheless, we want to try to do our best to preach the Word of God here to you this morning, anticipating the blessings of God. I appreciate what God's doing in these last days. I'll say more about it maybe later on, but we were in just a mighty move of God this week, almost 50 going through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost this past week in the youth camp we were in. 25 on Wednesday night in one altar service with no music, just the presence of God just falling on those young people, and not just kids getting up and saying it, but I had their pastors coming to me. One pastor brought 10 young people with him, and 7 of the 10 got the baptism of the Holy Ghost that they took back home, and so he was mighty excited about it. And to prove to you just how good God was, Brother Jamie Holcomb, that pastors in Hollywood, Alabama, he left after church on Friday night after about 5 of his teenagers had received the baptism. And when they got home to their church at 2:30 in the morning, one of the mothers was there to pick up her children. Her children still going to church, but the father and mother both backslid for about 5 years now. When they got back to the church and began to tell her what all God had done at that youth camp, she fell under conviction. And at 2:30 in the morning, they went into the church and prayed her back through to old time salvation. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God's still working? And I tell you, I just came with an anticipation today that God would like to do something like that right here on this homecoming Sunday morning. And so the saints of God, if you'll pray with me and preach with me and push toward an altar service, that's really what we're interested in. I realize the chicken's on the way. I'm hoping there's some macaroni and cheese over there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we're looking forward to all of that. But I tell you what I'd really like to see this morning. I'm going to hurry to get to the altar because that's where I'd like to see God do a mighty work in somebody's life. How many knows it's going to take the Holy Ghost for that to happen? Praise the Lord. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, this morning to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's Word this morning. Reverencing the Word of the Lord. Boy, that was a wonderful Sunday school lesson today, wasn't it? Let's reverence God's Word here. Luke chapter number 10. We're going to begin reading in verse number 25. The Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. If the Lord would help me, I'd like to preach today on rescued on the road of ruin. Rescued on the road to ruin. Our reading today from God's divine library has brought us back in contact with a very familiar story. The parable of Jesus is often referred to as the parable of the Good Samaritan. The irony of that title is that there was really no such creature as a Good Samaritan to the Orthodox Jew in Jesus' day. That is what makes this story such a powerful, powerful story. Christ, through this story, really revives the reputation of a rejected people. Now the term Good Samaritan is used as titles for hospitals and charities and even insurance companies. He has revived a reputation of a rejected people. But I want you to notice the context of our reading, for it shows us really the reason why this parable was given to start with. This parable that Jesus gives is in response to a question that was asked to him by a Jewish lawyer. I want you to note how this conversation takes place for just a moment here between Jesus and this lawyer. For in verse number 25, he asks the question, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus puts it back on him. He said, What is it written in the law? How readest thou? You're a lawyer. Tell me, what does the law of God say? And so he gives him his answer. He says, Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus affirms to him that that was a good answer. Amen. He says it this way, Thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. But I want you to notice verse number 29, for in his response here, the lawyer's response, we kind of see what the motive is behind all of this. For the Bible declares that he says, willing to justify himself. Amen. He realizes that through his own words, he's painted himself into a corner, if you will, and now he's looking for a loophole. Isn't it amazing that even in Jesus' day, lawyers were looking for loopholes? Oh, yes. But notice what happens here. Amen. In response to the question, he asks the question, the lawyer does, Who is my neighbor? If I'm to love my neighbor as myself, who is my neighbor? So in response to that, Jesus gives him this parable. The use of the Samaritan in this parable drives the point that Jesus is trying to make home to the heart of this man. Now, I want to preach from this parable today, and my approach to it may be a little different than what is common. For in this parable, not only do I see our responsibility to be a good Samaritan or to a neighbor to those that are around us, but I feel like there is revealed here a picture not only of a good Samaritan, but that of a great Savior. And that's what I'd like to preach to us today. You see, there's 3 different storylines that take place in this parable. First of all, there is the story of ruin. How many here today have watched the story of ruin played out among your family and among your friends, those that are close to you? You say, Preacher, what do you mean by a story of ruin? Well, look with me, if you will, how this story begins. He says, A certain man which went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Notice, if you will, the way he was traveling. The Bible says that he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Can I tell you today that the road to ruin is always a downward path? Oh, yes, it is. Any time that you leave the city of God, Jerusalem, and you head to a city that's accursed, Jericho, it's always a downward path. Amen. Any time someone heads out on this road to ruin, you can rest assured today, my friend, that it is a downward path. Sin never elevates your life. It always pulls you down. Amen. Samson, in order to find a wife among the Philistines, the enemies of God, he had to go down to Timnath. In order for Jonah on the run in rebellion to the word of God, he had to go down to Joppa. And so we see it played out time and time again that the road to ruin is always a downward path. Oh, listen, you don't climb up into addiction. You fall into addiction. You don't climb up into perversion. You always fall down into perversion. It's always a downward path. But not only was it a downward path, but we realized the way that he was traveling was a dangerous path. For verse number 30 tells us that it was that road from Jerusalem to Jericho. The reputation of that path, that road was a reputation of danger. In fact, I read after one Bible commentary that traveled to the Holy Land around 1900, and even then, at the turn of the 20th century, he said it would still require armed guards to travel that road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Can I preach to us here today on this home coming day that the way of sin, the road to ruin, it's always a downward path, but it's always a dangerous path as well. For we know that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you're here today and you're on that road to ruin, I want to warn you, you probably have already figured it out, but this is a dangerous path to be traveling on. Anytime you're heading toward the world, anytime you're heading towards sin, it is a dangerous thing. The road to sin and backsliding is a dangerous road to travel. It will bring much harm to your life. It will bring much harm to your family. It will bring much harm to a church, and it will destroy a fellowship. That's the reason why we must cry aloud against sin in this hour. Amen. To warn people of the danger. Oh, hear me today, precious soul. If you're here and you don't know God, if you're here and you're living to yourself, I want you to understand this morning that you are on a downward path and you are on a dangerous path. But notice this story of ruin, not only the way that he traveled, but notice the wounds that was traumatizing. For we read there again in verse number 30 where the Bible says that he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Notice that he was robbed, he was wounded, and he was abandoned. Is that the wounds that you're struggling with here today? Oh, I wish the Lord would come to us and help us this morning. Amen. You're here today on that dangerous path, that downward path, but it's not only, amen, the way that you're traveling, but it's the wounds that have traumatized your life. You recognize today because of the decisions that you're making, the choices that you've made, you have been robbed of some things that are precious to you. You see, the fact of the matter is, and it seems as if lately, amen, it's a constant theme in my preaching back home. Amen, life is full of choices. I said life is full of choices. And how many knows that choices do have consequences? Some of our decisions are very insignificant in their consequences. I mean, you had choices this morning just to get to church. You had to make the choice of what you were going to wear. And I realize that those choices have a very insignificant consequences for some folks. I mean, at best, you might got here today and realize you got one blue sock and one black sock on. Amen. Those do have consequences, but they're really insignificant in the grand scheme of things. But how many knows that there are choices that are very, very consequential to our life? Amen. The ramifications of those choices, amen, not only affect us in the here and now, but they can affect us for all of eternity. It not only affects us, but it affects all those around around us. And oftentimes the reason why people find themselves in the situations they do is because of their own choices. And I want you to hear me. Those choices can rob you of things that are very precious to you. Amen. You may be here this morning and fear racks your mind, and it seems as if your sanity, amen, is leaving because of the troubles that are around you. You don't know how you can hardly survive. Peace has been robbed of you. Amen. It's been stolen from your life. You have no peace when you lay your head on your pillow at night. Amen. There's no peace in your heart. There's no peace in your home. There's no peace to be found anywhere. Amen. You're groping through life just wondering, where can I find some solitude? Where can I find somewhere to find rest for my mind? Amen. You may be here today and realize joy has been stripped from you today. Amen. There's nothing that brings a smile to your face. Oh, we put on the mask when we're in public. We come to church and we put on a smile. But the fact of the matter is, it's just a thin veneer because of the torment and the trouble, amen, that our choices have brought to our lives because of the sin and the situations we find ourselves in. He was robbed, but he was also wounded. Amen. He was injured. Amen. In this incident. Amen. By the things that was brought against him. Is that where you're at today? You say you're here this morning in the house of the Lord. Amen. But you've been robbed of things like peace and joy and happiness in your life. But you're also dealing with wounds in your heart. Injuries to the soul. Amen. Injury by the things that life has brought against you. Maybe you're here today and you're wounded because of words of others, because of what people have said, because of the way people have treated you. Maybe you've had bad experiences in church in the past. Maybe there's things that you know. Listen, here's the thing you have to remember. Not everybody that claims to be a Christian always acts like a Christian. Oh, hallelujah. And the fact of the matter is, you can get hurt by people in church. Amen. And you may feel like you've got a good justification. Amen. But really, it's just an excuse. But hear me. I've worked in the public before. And you know what? I've had people in the world hurt me. I've had people in all aspects of life say things that were cruel. Amen. But I understand, because it was in church, you thought people ought to act different and do different. And they really should have. It's no excuse for what they've done. But hear me today. Those wounds are real. I understand. Amen. They are real. But God can help you with it today. Hallelujah. I realize what others have done may have caused you to lose trust in people. You may have a hard time at church this morning because your faith has been shook because of the wounds you have suffered in your own life. You may be here today dealing with a broken heart. How many knows that life, amen, can bring wounds to us that cripples our heart? Amen. But I want you to understand today that Jesus has come to bind up the brokenhearted. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, listen to me. He was robbed. He was wounded. And then he was abandoned. They left him there by the roadside. Amen. He wouldn't listen. You're here today. You're dealing with the things that life has robbed you of. Sin has robbed you of. You're dealing with the wounds. But also you're dealing with the loneliness. Oh, listen. Loneliness can be very tormenting. Oh, yes, it can. And the devil has fed you his lie that nobody really understands you because of what you're dealing with, because the wounds that you have suffered, because of the consequences that sin has brought. You're convinced here this morning that nobody really understands where you're at and what you're going through. You're also convinced that nobody loves you. That you're all alone in this world. You see, that's the slippery slope that the devil uses to bring destruction to people's lives. I am on staff at a funeral home in Texarkana now. And I did that so that if there was families that needed a pastor, didn't have a preacher, that I could preach their funerals. I found in my work there in Texarkana that in that time of death and loss is a prime opportunity to walk into somebody's life and make an impact and help them. I have people that's never darkened the door of my church today But whenever they find themselves in trouble, they'll call and want me praying for them because of the help of the Lord in those times, Brother Austin, whenever I was there for them and their loss. But because of that, I had one man in my church who had a 37-year-old son that completed suicide last year, and I preached his funeral. And then there through the funeral home, I preached the funeral of a 23-year-old boy that completed suicide. You know what? You know what? Both of those individuals, what they left behind, the testimony they left behind, is that they were all alone. And nobody understood them. And nobody really cared for them. Oh, I know my wife loved me, or I know my dad loved me, but nobody else really cared for me. And they reached that point of despondency and despair that they thought to die was better than to live. Hear me this morning. Hey, amen. That is a terrible place to get, because the enemy of your soul is doing his best to destroy every good thing in you and make you despair to the point of even living. Help me, Holy Ghost, this morning. This man was in such a case that he was so close to death that you couldn't say he was alive, but he had just enough life in him that you couldn't say he was dead. And so Jesus declares that they left him half dead. Is that the way you feel this morning? Amen. You feel like because of the circumstance and situation you're in that you're just barely surviving. It feels as if you're just clinging to life. It may feel hopeless in your situation. You're surrounded by hopelessness, surrounded by despair. I dealt with a situation, and I'm dealing with a situation, amen, where an individual has suffered greatly, been traumatized by circumstances of life, amen, and that individual found themselves, amen, at a place recently where they thought it would have been better for them not to even exist than to deal with what they were dealing with. They felt like life had been stripped from them. Every good thing had been taken away, and they were despairing with life. This man was half dead, and I feel like there's somebody under the sound of my voice here today that you're in that position. You're in that story of ruin, but I want to hear you. Not only was it a story of ruin, but then we read, and I need to hurry, the story of rejection. Amen. Verse 31 and 32 tells us about two men. Amen. That passed by. This man had fallen and had no one to help him, and he couldn't help himself. And so two different men of religion passed by. There was that Levite and the priest that passed by. Amen. Men of religion. And we are living in an hour when many are relying on religion to help them in their crisis of sin, in their crisis of life. But how many knows at this hour that many are finding out that religion will not help? Jesus shows us in the case of the priest and Levite that religion is not the answer for the wounds of life. Oh, hallelujah. Look with me at these two men and what they represent. First of all, we see the priest pass by. He represents the rites of religion. The rituals of the law is what he represents. He knew all about the sacrifices. He knew all about the feast days, the fast days, circumcision, and the Sabbath. Amen. He knew all about the rituals. But the rituals of religion, however rooted in truth and tradition, cannot help a lost soul. Just because you're going through the rituals of religion, just because you attend a church and you go through their rituals and their rites, does not mean, amen, that you've got what you needed. They leave you empty, and they leave you hopeless and in despair. Amen. The priest represents the rites of religion. The Levite represented the rules of religion. He represented keeping the law of God. He was dedicated to preserving the law of God from any form of delusion, attack, or seeing that its requirements were met. Amen. Can I tell you today that just living the creed of Christianity will not profit? Amen. If you do not have a relationship with the Christ of Christianity, I said just the creed of Christianity will not pull you out of your situation. You need the Christ of Christianity. Amen. It's not just about keeping the rules. It's not just about adopting a certain lifestyle. It's not just about going through a form and a fashion. It's not just about putting on a uniform of Christianity. The fact of the matter is today, You need to be introduced, amen, to the Christ of Christianity. You don't need religion today. You need Jesus. I said, you don't need religion today. If religion was all that it took, the Muslim would be all right. If religion was all that it took, the Catholic would be all right. If religion was all that it took, the Hindu would be all right. But how many knows that false religion will not cure the sickness of the soul? It's not found in any creed. It's not found in any church. It's found in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I said it's found in Jesus this morning. And so I'm talking to you about this rescue on the road to ruin. The story of ruin. The story of rejection. But I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on the story of redemption. For notice what the Bible says in verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed. He was a Samaritan. From every indication, the wounded man was a Jew. The racial barrier between these two was insurmountable in many cases. But the compassion of the Samaritan reached beyond the barriers of race. It reached beyond the barriers of culture. It reached beyond the barriers of his need. Amen. I want to preach to somebody today. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've been involved in. It doesn't matter how your family's lived. It doesn't matter the situation of your home. There's no barrier that the devil puts in our life that can keep Jesus from reaching to where you're at. If you'll just reach to him today. I said, if you'll just recognize, amen, that the great Savior, amen, is in the house this morning. If you'll reach out to him, you'll find a helping hand, amen, on the road to ruin. Oh, hallelujah. I said, you'll find somebody that knows how to rescue you on the road to ruin. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Hear me this morning. Amen. The Bible says in verse 31 that by chance the priest and Levite journeyed where this man was at. But verse 33 states, as he journeyed. Hallelujah. It's almost as if, amen, that he was on a mission. It was no accident that the Samaritan was passing by this wounded man. It wasn't by chance that he was there. And I come to preach to you today. Amen. You may be here by because of the kind invitation of a friend or a family member. But it's no accident you're in God's house this morning. I said it's no accident that you're here this morning. Because there's somebody that's come to church as well. Oh, hallelujah. And he came on a mission today. Amen. He's been on a mission before the foundations of the world were ever laid. Amen. A mission of redemption. And if you're here this morning and you feel like you're wounded and you feel like you've been robbed, if you feel like you've been abandoned, there is a Savior that's traveling down this road this morning. He's come right here to Savannah, Holy Church of God this morning. Amen. To find you where you're at today. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, listen now. Amen. It was no accident he was there. Amen. Christ has been on this journey. Amen. Of redemption since before the foundations of the world. And notice what the Bible says in verse 34. The Bible says he went to him. Oh, hallelujah. You can't get to where he's at. But he knows how to come to where you're at. I couldn't get there by myself, Brother Landon. I couldn't get there on my own. Amen. I was too broken and busted. Amen. To get there all by myself, Brother Austin. Amen. But by the grace of God, amen, he came to where I was at. Oh, hallelujah. I said he came to where I was at. Glory to God. He went to him. And what does the Bible say? He bound him up. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice that. Amen. He bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. I came to tell somebody this morning that he does not leave us like he finds us. I said he does not leave us like he finds us. You are in this situation today. You're in all kinds of trouble. You're in over your head and you feel like life's about to swallow you up. But I come to tell you, the great Savior has come this morning. Amen. To pick you up. He's not going to leave you like he finds you. He's going to make a change. Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. He come to make a change in you today. I said he come, amen, to fix you. I said God came to bring a change in you. Brother Smith, the pastor at South Oxana when I was in high school. He said one time in our chapel service there in the Christian school, he said, when I came to Jesus, I did not come seeking forgiveness. He said, I needed forgiveness, but I didn't come seeking forgiveness. He said, I came seeking deliverance. He said, I was sick of the way I was living. I was sick of the sin business. It had destroyed my life, and I was looking for deliverance. I come to tell you this morning, that's what God wants to do for you. Notice how he done it in this text, the Samaritan. He poured in the oil and the wine. Hallelujah. Wine, amen, sterilized and cleansed. Oil soothed and comforted. It was common remedies of the day. Amen. Wine and speaks to us, amen, of our Savior's suffering, amen, that cleansing blood that sterilizes and cleanses us from sin. The oil speaks of the Spirit of God that soothes and comforts the pain of sin. And I come to tell you, I'm glad that God has a remedy for your ruin. Hallelujah. I said, God has the remedy for your situation this morning. There's no sin so great. There's no situation so mixed up. There's no problem so hard. Amen. There's no sin no so grievous, amen, that the Savior of our soul can't do something about it. He's a master at fixing broken people. I said he's a master at putting lives back together. Thank God for the blood that cleanses us from the germs of grudges and the bacteria of bitterness. I said, thank God for the blood, amen, that cleanses us from the germs of grudges and the bacteria of bitterness. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost that comforts and heals us. God knows how to put you back together. He bound him up, and then the Bible says that he brought him out. He set him on his own beast and brought him to an end and took care of him. He picked him up from the road of ruin and took him to Redemption Inn. You see, God not only fixes us, but he frees us. He does not leave you like he finds you, and he won't leave you where he finds you. Can anybody that's here today saved by the grace of God testify to the fact that God's brought you a mighty long way? Ooh, hallelujah. I said he's brought you a mighty long way. Amen. What did he do? He picked him up. He won't leave you in the ditch. Amen. But he'll rescue you. I said he won't leave you there wallowing in the muck and mire of sin, but he'll pick you up. Hallelujah. I said he knows how to pick you up. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, the psalmist said. I said he knows how to pick you up. But then not only did he pick him up, but then he provided for him. Amen. He took him to that hymn. And he gave him everything he needed to heal. He gave him everything that he needed to be restored. And I want you to know today, God knows how, amen, to turn it all around. And he will provide. He has provided through his grace. He has provided through his word. He has provided through his spirit. He has provided through his church. Everything that you need to be restored back to his fellowship, to be restored back to life, amen, and joy and peace. God knows how, amen, to pick you up. And he's provided everything that you need. He picked him up. He provided for him. And then he made this promise. Brother Mark, come and get me a song if you would. Notice what it says. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. 2 pence. From our study of God's word, we see where this would have been the equivalent of 2 days' wages. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as a day. He gave 2 days' wages. How many knows it's been 2 days since Jesus departed? You listening to me this morning? Oh, yes. And how many knows he made us a promise? He gave us the promise of the Holy Ghost to the church to take care of everything that you needed to see that you could get right with God and be what you ought to be for him. And he said this. Amen. He's given to the church everything needed for your care. But when I come again, I'll take care of the rest. Can I tell you, when he comes, he's going to settle the score. He's going to right every wrong. He's going to take care of you until the rapture of the church. You can make it all the way to God's good heaven because of what God has provided for you in this house this morning. Would the church pray with me here this morning? Father, I felt such a burden about this service this morning, recognizing that there'll be people here today lost, not right with God, backsliders that know the goodness of God, have experienced a touch of God, but for whatever reason, they've went back. They found themselves in the ditch on the side of the road of ruin, and they're needing rescued this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would do just that today, rescue them on the road to ruin in the name of Jesus. Help us here this morning. Let your conviction settle among us. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you in this house this morning? Do you find yourself on that road to ruin? Do you recognize that sin in the world has robbed you, wounded you, abandoned you, and you need help? I may have told you about this the last time I was here, but I have a family in my church now that's been with me 4 years. When I first moved to Texarkana, she was in drug rehab for prescription drug abuse. He was born and bred Baptist through and through. He was a dirt track race car driver. A good one at that. Pretty arrogant. He would come a couple times and he just had that air about him like, you ought to be glad I'm here and don't mess with me. Well, time progressed until their lives were in such despair and shambles. He had left her, moved out, living with his grandparents, getting ready to divorce. They were in such terrible shape. She came on Sunday and just so needing God's help, and we prayed with her a little bit, and Fairland camp meeting was starting on the next night. She was going to go, and her and the kids, and she invited her husband to come with her. He only went because he wanted to see his kids and spend some time with them. And he walked into that camp meeting that night. Brother Tim Brim was preaching that meeting that year. And he preached to the lost on the very first night of that camp meeting. And I watched Jeff Sales get up floor on this side of the church and almost run to that altar. He said, Brother Dennis, I was saved really before I ever left my pew. I'd already made up my mind I was going to give it all to God. And he said, I ran down to that altar. You hear me tonight? God gloriously saved him. The next day in a day service, God saved his wife. Saved his teenage daughter, 16-year-old daughter. And God put that home back together. They've had their struggles, yes. But if you walk in this morning to the House of Prayer Holiness Church at 519 Graham Street, you'd find Jeff Sales leading the charge. He's one of my spark plugs. He told me a couple years ago, Pastor, I want to be your armor bearer. God turned it all around. Can I tell you what he did for that family? It's a story that some of you have heard time and time again. He can do it for you. The devil's convinced you that there's no hope. And that it's just going to be like this, so you might as well get used to it. I'm telling you, God, I'd like to turn it all around this morning. Stand with me all over the house. Is there anybody, as we make this altar this morning, pray with me, church, right here. Let's pray that God would save somebody right now. Is there anybody in this house that would like to be rescued on the road to ruin? Is there anybody here today? Just going to make an old-fashioned altar this morning. Going to plead with somebody to make that step out into an aisle, down to the front. Fall down here at the front and invite God to work in your life. I feel the Lord's working on some hearts. I see conviction on some faces this morning. God would like to help you this morning. Is there anybody, as the church is praying, that ought to step out from where you're at today, make your way down to the front, and let God rescue you this morning? If you'll reach out to Him. I said, if you'll reach out to Him, He will pick you up. He will bind you up and bring you out by the grace of God. Is there a backslider in the house? It's been a long time. It's time to come on home this morning. I said, it's time to come on home.
And pulled you away.
Raise your hands, church. Let's believe God to help us. Not going to linger long. But I want to know today, is there a sinner or a backslider? I know that's hard for us to admit. I realize the devil will try to tell us that that's going to put somebody away. Is I saying a sinner or a backslider? But that's exactly where you're at. That's exactly where you're at this morning. He can rescue you on the road to ruin. Wouldn't you like to experience God and His grace today? Come on. Step out from where you're at this morning. Go ahead, Mama. Bring her on with you. Yeah, come on. Let God work for you. Let God help you this morning. He wants to do a work for your life. He'd like to put your home back together again. He'd like to restore you back into good fellowship with your mom, your dad, your parents. You can come back home here at the altar if you'll just come. Is there anybody that'd like to be rescued today? One more time, raise your hands, church. Ask the Lord to help us this morning. Hallelujah. It's homecoming. It's time to come home. There's a rescue for you. Oh, Lord. Anybody out in the house? Anybody at all? Feel the presence of the Lord here. He'd like to help you. Praise the Lord. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn this over to the pastor.